the most recent award is the Defense Information Systems Agency. They gave an award to Lockheed Martin that could be worth $4.6 billion over 7 years for something called the Global Information Grid, Service Management and Operations. So it's the GIG GSM-O contract.
That's not complicated at all.
No, it never is from DISA. And this contract was awarded just on June 18th. It was protested just last Friday. So what's going on here is that, you know, SAIC, who is the incumbent contractor, says, we don't like what happened. Now, why did they protest? It's kind of hard to say right now. Now, the other contract that just came under protest about a week and a half ago is for the General Services Administration's contract for e-travel. That was given to Concur Technologies, and the protester is CWT Sato Travel, which is used to be Carson Wagonlit Travel. And they were an incumbent as well. And that contract to Concur Technologies that GSA awarded could be worth $1.4 billion over 15 years. So two very big contracts where the incumbents said, oh, we're not happy with the outcome.
And I imagine the problem with big contracts like this is they encompass major parts of each of these agencies' operations, DISA and GSA.
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, the e-travel one is government-wide. So what happened back in 2003 was GSA made an award under the e-government initiative called e-travel to three companies. At the time, it was Northrop, it was Carson Wagonlit, and it was EDS. Now, EDS obviously got bought by HP. So they have these e-travel systems in the agency. So now what is happening is Concur has won the one awards. It went from 3-1, and now everything's got to go transferred, if you will, or integrated back to Concur. So what's happening is Carson Wagonlit is being pushed out of the market. So I think in many ways they said, whoa, we better protest because what do we have left to lose?
Yeah, I imagine if you are sitting there and you realize you're going to lose $1.4 billion over the next 15 years of your revenue potentially, you want to make sure that everything was considered, every I dotted and T crossed.
Right. And that's one of the things they said. In fact, their spokeswoman sent me an email that said the protest is based on discrepancies in both the evaluation itself and the associated process that was followed. Basically, they said they've requested a review from GAO under federal procurement law, and they have no other comments to make except for that they're upset with the way it was evaluated.
And that is part of the problem for people in our business, is because we know that these things are happening. We know that these contracts are now in limbo. But other than that, unless the company chooses to say something, SAIC, I imagine, did not have much to say either.
Absolutely. All they said that, again, we're disappointed in the decision by DISA. And then they said, we think our solution is the best value for the customer. We're proud of our performance history. And, you know, we look forward to, continue to work to resolve this matter. But there's no specifics. And a lot of times there's no specifics because it all becomes very technical in the legalese world. And you don't want to start talking about something that could affect the case down the road. Now, eventually, once GAO makes their decision or the agency comes back and says, okay, we're going to re-look at this contract or re-look at proposals, you get a bigger sense of what actually happened. But that's months down the road.
How does this affect the end user, either of the travel system or the GSMO? What difference does this make for now?
In the short term, none. Because Carson Wagonlit or Northrop, whoever is running your agency's e-travel system, will continue to run the e-travel system. And the way these contracts work is there's always a period of transition, and that transition is going to be – it always takes months. So it wouldn't be like you turn a switch on and turn a switch off. Under the DISA deal, again, I think the same thing. SAIC is the incumbent. They'll continue to run the program to continue to make sure that the global information grid is running smoothly. So the end user won't really see a difference. Now, when the protest is eventually decided and if they go back to Lockheed and says, Lockheed wins, Lockheed has definite plans to in terms of how they would change the GIG GSMO contract or the services under it. But that's off, again, months away.
Your story on federalnewsradio.com this afternoon has an October 1st deadline for the Government Accountability Office to decide on the SAIC protest and September 24th deadline on the travel protest. Contract. But that's not the end of this by any means, is it necessarily?
Well, if GAO decides and denies or dismisses both protests, then it's the end.
Okay.
Now, they could go to, traditionally they don't go to the Court of Federal Claims after that. They either go to GAO or the Court of Federal Claims. But what could easily happen is that, DISA meets with GAO and GAO says, listen, here's the facts as we have it. what we're seeing now is you guys are going to lose, so you may want to reopen the RFP. And DISA could go back and say, before that October 1st deadline, you know, late August, say, okay, we'll reopen the RFP and relook at bids.
And that was one of the things I was getting at, was because we've seen that. I can't recall the contract, but I think we saw that recently at VA. Did we?
Yeah, well, VA was different because they had a conflict of interest. That was the health IT contract. You saw this with several different contracts. One of them was the one that comes to mind most readily is the FedBizOps.gov contract from a number of years ago. It was awarded. It was protested. It was GSA reopened it. It was reawarded. It was protested. GSA reopened it. And then finally, GSA, if you will, did an end around and made an 8-day set aside. But it's a whole different story. Now, what GSA could do here is again, look at the same thing could happen with the protest by Carson Wagonlit, which, by the way, they protested last April, so 2011, and won their protest. So they have a history of winning a protest against GSA. Now, it's a different issue, and it may not matter for this time around, but the point is that I think they CWT Sato Travel believes that there is a history of challenges by GSA when it comes to this procurement, and they probably feel like they have a pretty good leg to stand on.
Two things about this I find particularly interesting. One is the size of these two contracts, obviously over $1 billion apiece, and two, the nature of the companies involved. CWT Sato Travel. If you walk down the street, I don't think anybody, if you ask 10 people, would be able to tell you what they do for a living. SAIC, in this area at least, especially anybody that drives out 66, at least understands that SAIC is a government contractor. And so you see people, a company nobody's heard of and a company that has somewhat of a profile. You have a company in the travel business and one in a very highly technical contract. It just makes me think that this is just maybe the beginning of huge billion and multi-billion dollar contracts that we're going to see protested over the next several years when you think about the budget crunch.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And that was something that, you know, has been a concern that GAO's had, that the contractors have had over the last few years because of the move away from smaller contracts to bigger contracts. Well, now we're moving back to smaller contracts. So it'll be interesting to see what comes. How many of these multi-billion dollar contracts are we going to see over the next, you know, 3, 4, 5 years? I think with the move to agile procurement, with the move to modular contracting, you're going to see fewer of those. But what you will see is task orders that are getting protested instead of these big, huge contracts, because what vendors will say is, well, if I can't get this task order, the follow-on task order becomes even harder for me to get, and the follow-on after that becomes even harder for me to get, so I got to get in earlier on. So I think that what GAO's numbers have shown over the last few years is that protests are up, but they're not up by as much as people think. I think, you know, it gets a lot of attention by us when stories like this or when there's suspension and debarment conversations, but the number of protests really have grown, but not as much as people think.
All right. Any significance that the protesters in both cases here are the incumbents? Does that mean anything?
No, I think that's more typical. I think that, you know, when you have something to lose, you know, if you're a contractor who bids and loses and you're not an incumbent, you have less of a reason to protest, versus incumbents are going to, as you said earlier, lose a big chunk of money here. And but they're not going to protest for just because they're the incumbent. I mean, they really have to look at this, go through the debrief and say, okay, we think the agency made a mistake, because, and we hear this time and again, you never want to sue your customer, and especially if you think that if you're going to win, if the GAO is going to rule in your favor, which you obviously think they are if you're going to submit a protest, because they're not cheap, and then, you know, if you're going to continue to work with that customer, and SAIC would continue to work with DISA, or Carson Wagonlit would continue to work with GSA and other customers, you don't want them to be mad at you. That's the last thing you want.
All right. You do have a story, as I mentioned, about this up at federalnewsradio.com with a lot more details. Thank you very much, Jason Miller.
Oh, it was a pleasure.